In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today is the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. It almost never happens on the same Sunday as Bunparigenton, but remember, if you will, the tradition. This day commemorates when Mary and Joseph took their 40-day old son Jesus to the temple and offered him back to God. Because as written in Mosaic law, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice on his behalf, a pair of turtle doves or pigeons. Understanding this profound concept of ritual sacrifice is crucial, I think, for the entire world church, but even more so for we Armenian Orthodox, whose very Sunday Mass is called Badarak, the sacrifice. So to get back to the root of what sacrifice means in the scriptures, we have to go all the way back to Abraham and that terrible day when he was asked to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Many find this story hard to identify with, but like all biblical stories, they offer profound truths if we just learn how to read them right. So let's remember the elements of the story. Abraham grew old, and he was not blessed with a son to continue his family line. So imagine Abraham's joy when Sarah conceived Isaac when he was 100 years old. Now, I wasn't quite that old when my son was born, but close enough to identify with Abraham's joy. Isaac was described as Abraham's only one, his precious one. So what comes next is unthinkable. God invites Abraham to take Isaac and offer him in sacrifice. Abraham astonishingly agrees to the request, and when they arrive at the place of sacrifice, Abraham binds Isaac, raises his knife, and suddenly God intervenes, stops the sacrifice, and gives Abraham a ram to offer in place of his son. This is not a board book children's story. It seems to be a terrible story, hearkening back to the barbaric days of human sacrifice. But in the context of God's relationship to mankind, it's a story with a profound lesson about the gift of love and all gifts. Namely, that in order for something to be received as a gift, it must be received twice. Let me explain. A gift, by definition, has to be something that is not deserved, but freely given. What is our first impulse when we are given a really great gift? We say, "You shouldn't have. I can't take this. I don't deserve this." In essence, that gesture, that healthy instinctual response, is an attempt to give the gift back to the giver. But of course, the giver refuses to take it back and offers it to us again with the reassurance, "But I want you to have this." And when we receive it the second time, it's now properly ours. Because by offering it back, we admit in thought and deed that the gift was unmerited and undeserved. And this is the same dynamic in today's gospel reading. Isaac comes to Abraham as the greatest, most undeserved gift of his life. And he surely questioned whether he deserved this and whether this gift actually belonged to him even. So when God asked for his gift back, Abraham complies. "Well, perhaps I never deserved this after all," Abraham might have thought. And just then, the giver of all gifts, love himself, stops Abraham's gesture, gives the gift a second time. And so now Abraham can receive Isaac without guilt, as pure gift. And I imagine that as they walk back home that day, Isaac is now Abraham's son in a way that he never was before. Abraham had received the gift of life twice before understanding its true value race. This dynamic isn't just in the Old Testament in the past. It runs through all of scriptures, and I think all of life. And not coincidentally, it's the same dynamic which underlies today's feast day, the presentation of Jesus to the temple. Think about it. Mary and Joseph were given the gift of Jesus. And observing biblical law, they offer him back to God in his temple. They're speechless when an old man named Simeon tells these new parents that their baby Jesus will become the long-awaited savior of mankind, but only through great suffering and sacrifice. Only after mankind, in all of our depravity, would sacrifice Jesus back to heaven by the cross. But the story does not end there. For in his great love of mankind, Jesus willingly goes to his Father, and he's given back to the world in an even deeper way. Because Jesus walked with the apostles in his time, but now he dwells within us. He dwells in the body of his billion believers in the church. His real presence animates our sacraments. His living breath, our holy scriptures. He abides in the world by the Holy Spirit, and he counsels and heals all who believe in his name. Like Abraham with Isaac, we Christians have benefited from receiving the gift of the Son of God twice. The first, his marvelous life on earth, and the second, his life eternal, by which he guides and protects and counsels those who follow him. And so we Armenian Christians, whose weekly mass is called the sacrifice, we must always remember the essence of sacrifice and its implications for all of life, that to properly receive anything, including life itself, requires that we recognize it precisely as gift and as something undeserved. And to do that requires sacrifice, a daily willingness to offer our lives back to God and to each other. This echoes Abraham's great sacrifice. This honors God the Father's great sacrifice. This was, is, and will be Jesus' great sacrifice, the Badarak, which is our weekly ritual reminder that our lives are gifts. And as we learn to offer back to God and each other, God blesses and returns them to us again and again in ever deeper ways, now and always, and unto the ages of ages.